I would like to welcome back to the show author and film historian James Niebuhr. He's written several books, but the one we were going to talk about this morning is The Jerry Lewis Films, An Analytical Filmography of the Innovative Comic. The last time that Jimmy was here, he talked about The Monster Movies of Universal Studios, which is a terrific book that you should pick up. And that's when I found out he wrote this book about Jerry Lewis, and we're back to talk to Jimmy about the book and about Jerry Lewis. Jimmy, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, Nick, how you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Real good. Real
All right, good.
Good.
I'm so excited. I love the book, Jimmy. It's so great. And you know, as a hardcore Jerry Lewis fan, clearly written by a couple of guys who know the subject and have respect for Jerry Lewis as a filmmaker, yeah. Which many people don't.
Yeah, that's true. They if they don't laugh at his particular brand of comedy, which of course we do, they can't see beyond that, and they can't see what a really talented filmmaker Jerry Lewis was. His use of color, his decision of shots, his use of editing to enhance the comedy.
Yeah.
All that's there. He really was quite brilliant.
He really was. He really was. Now, let's remind everybody about your background and how you started getting into writing and into film and all that stuff.
Well, I talked to you about this last time I was on. After President Kennedy was assassinated, the weekend after that, there was just nothing on TV except coverage. And so my parents took me to what turned out to be my very first movie at a movie theater. I was just a little kid. And it was Who's Minding the Store?
There you go.
Jerry Lewis. And the Venetian Theater in Racine, Wisconsin. It was just this huge, ornate, beautiful building, and we were way up in the balcony because the theater was just packed. Mm-hmm. And people are just rocking in their seats, laughing hysterically, and my young mind realized that during a very, very sad time, this silly guy in the movie was making everybody happy. And I understood, as young as I was, the power of film, the power of comedy. And not only did I become an instant Jerry Lewis fan, but I became connected to cinema. And even as a little kid, when I had time and, you know, opportunity, I would try to see more of the old comedies, learn more about them, because it not only, you know, it was not only enjoyable, but it was sort of an area of study very, very early on. I mean, right around the time I learned to read. And It just stuck with me, and I became something of a film historian after that. I branched off into other genres, of course, but Jerry Lewis was the catalyst for all of this.
Yeah, that's great. It's a great story. It's such a great story. Boy, remember when going to the movies was an event?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was. Listen, I love going to the movies. I go every week. I go, like, at least 3 or 4 times a week. But just, yeah. You know, people forget that, you know, like you just talked about how beautiful that theater was and how big it was and that it was kind of a big deal to go to those beautiful old movie palaces. And that, you know, now it's just there's multiplexes. They all look exactly the same. And it's just not as special. And I know I sound like an old man, but that's the truth.
Well, I'm older than you. So,
yeah.
I went from going to these big, beautiful theaters that would show a movie that would later become a classic, like a Jerry Lewis comedy, to a concrete bunker at the end of the mall showing Ferris Bueller or something. That's how far I fell in that much time.
Yeah, when I was a kid, you know, when I was growing up, my dad would take me and my father would take the L downtown every Sunday morning. And we would go to the theaters that were in the loop. Now, granted, we started doing this probably, you know, the very early 70s. So the theaters had seen better days by that point. And during the 70s, when we would go every Sunday, that was around the time when they basically, you know, they were still big, they were still ornate, but they were kind of grindhouses and a lot, you know, some of them just showed triple features of kung fu movies and things like that. But those are my childhood memories of going to the State Lake and the Roosevelt, the Oriental Theater, and the Woods and the Chicago Theater. Those are, you know, memories that I'll never forget. Even though the theaters weren't in the best shape.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The theater I went to, I think, was originally an opera house in the 19th century, but they kept it up. They kept it, and it was still a very beautiful building when they eventually tore it down. And now the only theater I have to go to is about a 25-minute drive, and it's a multiplex, and it's, you know, I don't care that it has more comfortable seats and all that type of stuff. You know, there's just something sterile about the environment, and something manufactured rather than creative about it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. We have a couple of great theaters here. We have a few great theaters here in Chicago. We're lucky enough to have the Music Box, which is just a beautiful theater.
Oh, yeah, and they program such great stuff.
They really do. They do. And we have the beautiful Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge, which is, you know, just a nice, beautiful old theater. They do great work there, too, as well. So there's a few... There's a few around, but other than that, it's just AMC everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, so the book, let's talk a little bit about it before we have to break here for news. Tell me about your co-writer on this.
Oh, Ted Okuda. You see, when we decided to do this, I had already had three books published, and Ted had three or four published as well. And he's out of Chicago. He's also a film historian. And so we ganged up and decided, you know, let's try this. And so I contacted Joe Stabile, Jerry Lewis's manager at the time, and he dated all the way back to the Martin and Lewis films. And happily enough, he got back to me. This is all snail mail, because this is like, you know, early 90s.
Yeah.
And he got back to me and said, Mr. Lewis should have some time after the telethon, and maybe we can set up an interview then. And I'm like, oh, God, this is great. Well, the management contacted us, like, come and see Jerry Lewis Wednesday. Well, this was on Monday, and we had to make all these arrangements and flight and all these other things.
Yeah.
But we didn't pass up the opportunity. We hurriedly did this, and we had to go to the San Diego Harbor and meet with him on his boat.
Right.
And we hung out on his boat for, like, 2 hours, and he was kind of at that point he was kind of feeling us out.
Right. Now hang on, Jimmy, hang on,
because
we have to break for news, and these are great stories, and I want to hear like your best Jerry Lewis stories this morning. Is that okay?
Oh boy, there's a lot of them.
Okay, well, we got time. Hang on. Okay. Jimmy Nyber is here, and he is the author of several books, including the Jerry Lewis Films, an analytical filmography of the innovative comic, and it's a terrific book. We'll have more coming up after the news, which is next. Yeah. All right. Welcome back, everyone. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. And we were going to talk about best comedies of all time, movies, your favorite comedy movies, and then also add that into the discussion, things that make you laugh that nobody else laughs at. That's all coming up here. And also, after the 4:30 news, our friend Lindsey Cochran is going to join us from Great Moments of Vinyl. They're doing a tribute to the Rolling Stones, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Right now, though, my guest is film historian and author James Nyber, and he's written a ton of books, including the Jerry Lewis Films, an analytical filmography of the innovative comic. We have a link on our Facebook page for more information, and the book is tremendous. And we'll talk about the book, and we'll also get back to our conversation about Jerry Lewis, and we welcome Jimmy back. Jimmy, welcome back.
Good to be back.
All right. So, okay, right before the news, you were talking about how you got in contact with Jerry Lewis's people. Jerry said that he would see you. You're in San Diego. You're on his boat. Let's go from there.
Okay, yeah. Jerry was sort of feeling us out at first. He even had a guy scheduled to come in and say, hey, Jerry, we've got that thing, in case it wasn't going well. And the guy kept doing this, like, every 5 minutes after a while. And Jerry finally, you know, kept shooing him away. And then finally Jerry says, look, we don't have to go to that thing today.
Yeah.
And the guy went away. And he just kept for like 2 hours, and then he really did have to go. But we rescheduled to meet at his home, and we spent all day at his house. And, I mean, we took a lunch break. We took a few breaks along the way. And it was during those times that all the cool stuff happened. I mean, the interviews, well, most of the quotes are in the book. But
didn't he order like 500 hamburgers for you guys?
He called, he said, hey, you guys hungry? And we're like, well, yeah, we could eat. And he called Wendy's and said, this is Jerry Lewis. We want hamburgers, French fries, and Cokes over at my house. And he hangs up. And in like 3 minutes, somebody shows up with these bags of hamburgers, French fries, and Cokes. there's only three of us. And there was enough for like 200 people.
That's fantastic.
And we ate all this food and all this nice nutritious food, and
yeah.
And then we went right back to work. But you know, while we were eating, it was this relaxing time where we weren't really talking much about anything in particular. And that's when he started saying this and that about other comedians. And that's, we put that as an appendix in the book.
Yeah,
Lewis's thoughts on other comedians.
I love that. I love that appendix. It's just fantastic.
When he was like comparing the Three Stooges and saying they were every bit as good as Harold Lloyd, that was wonderful.
Yeah, fantastic.
But at one point, and I thought this was just this wonderful moment. At one point, his little daughter came in. She was maybe 2 years old at the time,
mm-hmm.
and he picked her up and he says, "Let me show you something we do every morning." And he picked her up in his arms and he turns on his son Gary Lewis's record, "Everybody Loves a Clown." And he starts dancing around the room with the daughter in his arms to the Gary Lewis tune.
Wow.
So I'm watching Jerry Lewis dance with his youngest baby in his arms to a song that his oldest kid recorded back at, I think, 1965 it came out.
Yeah.
And he was dancing around to the song. And it's one of those wonderful, magical moments where, as it was happening, I was saying to myself, I'm never going to forget this.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you tell Jerry Lewis the story about your first time seeing a movie?
Absolutely. I not only told him that story, after I told it to him, he got up and left the room, and he came back with a bunch of pictures of him and Kennedy, because John F. Kennedy was a friend of his.
Yeah.
And stuff. But I absolutely told him the story.
That's great.
There were so many times. I mean, he brought us upstairs and says, "Here's all of the scripts for all of my movies."
Wow.
And then he pulled out the script for The Bellboy to show us the writing that Stan Laurel did in the margins, offering suggestions.
Yeah.
So I grabbed it out of his arms and ran. No. But I thought about it. But,
yeah.
But it was just all this really cool stuff that went on outside of the interviews where the quotes are found in the book.
Yeah.
And that was just so incredible.
And Jerry had a reputation of being a little surly. Did he ever get surly with you guys? Did you guys ever cross a line that he didn't like?
Absolutely never. Nothing was off limits.
Oh,
I could talk about Martin. We talked about The Day the Clown Cried. We brought that up. I mean, you know, Ted and I looked at each other and said, "We got a lot of material. What's the worst thing he can do? Not answer."
Right.
Okay, so we'll go on to something else, because he seemed very comfortable with us.
Wow.
And so we brought up everything. There wasn't anything he wouldn't talk about. And the only thing that was funny is when we would disagree on which of his films were better. We mentioned we really liked the Martin and Lewis movie Sailor Beware. And he gave us this real disgusted eye roll, like, "Oh, God." another time, we didn't like Cinderfella as much as he did. Mm. And when we mentioned that, "Well, it was good, but not among your best," he had this really, like, hurt look in his eye, like we hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
And he made me feel awful. No, I'm just kidding. It's terrific.
It's great. It's funny that you mentioned, the Sailor Beware, that you really love Sailor Beware, and he wasn't crazy about
yeah.
it. When I was reading the book, I understand that it was the last movie that they made together. And at that point, Martin and Lewis were pretty much finished. They weren't even speaking to each other. But I really love Hollywood or Bust. And in reading the book, that it's the only one of his movies that he's never seen.
We tried to arrange a screening because I wanted to be there. Jerry Lewis seeing that movie for the first time, and I'm sitting with him. I had to do this. But no, he refused. He refused to watch it. He had no interest, and he went to his grave never having seen that film.
Oh, wow. Now, what do you think of the movie?
Well, I didn't write that chapter.
Okay.
Ted wrote that chapter, and I think it's, more of a great Frank Tashlin
yeah.
film than a great Martin and Lewis film, because
yeah.
Tashlin liked to, kind of satirize the pop culture things that were going on at that time. And you got to love those opening things, the various movie fans, stuff like that
yeah.
J. Jerry does at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's a very colorful and very opulent film. And there's a lot of good scenes in it. But the tension is palpable, especially when you know what's going on.
Yeah, that's true. But I still just—I mean, I'm a big fan of Frank Tashlin. Talk a little bit about the relationship that Jerry had with Frank Tashlin.
Well, he and Tashlin connected well because the way Tashlin, as you know, came from cartoon animation,
right?
And he had such outrageous ideas for that. And then Jerry Lewis realized that Tashlin's ideas connected well with Jerry's ideas for comedy. Tashlin could connect with Jerry's really free-form, you know, no linear structure sort of ideas about comedy. And so something that's just completely off the wall, like at the beginning of, towards the beginning of Disorderly Orderly, when Jack E. Leonard is this escaped mental patient
right.
that he's got to get a hold of, and Jerry ends up in a straitjacket, and he's inching along, and there's a cartoon snail going faster. I mean, that's Tashlin. That's some crazy Tashlin.
Right.
And, of course, Who's Minding the Store, which we brought up, is a Frank Tashlin, Jerry Lewis movie also. So he was able to tap into Jerry's complete free-form crazy comedy, but also temper it enough so that Jerry didn't, like, go overboard. And I personally think Jerry going overboard is part of what's funny. But and there's some things Tashlin does, like the really harsh, dramatic Susan Oliver character in Disorderly Orderly. That seems a little disconcerting to me sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, but basically I think they really – melded really well for somebody who is perfectly capable of directing his own film. I thought Jerry did some of his best work with Frank Tashlin.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. So Jerry's interest in filmmaking was there from the beginning. Can you talk a little bit about what, you know, he would be on set and he would learn and ask questions and things like that, correct?
Well, Jerry Lewis was, you know, just fascinated by the entire creative process of cinema. He would walk around and see what they were doing, and he would, be inquisitive. He was very young at the time, only in his 20s. You know, Dean just wanted to do some funny stuff and then kick back and get into his own thing. But Jerry had a sort of a serious interest in film as cinema, if such a thing could be identified in that way. And, yeah, he would walk around, ask questions, and he would absorb the information, learn more, and just out of his own curiosity. He would make home movies, and he'd have his movie star friends appear in them, and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff like that. And it eventually evolved into him becoming his own director, desperately because of the whole situation with the bellboy.
And, well, yeah, let's tell that story, Jimmy, about how the bellboy became. Because originally they wanted Cinderfella for a Christmas release, but they needed a Jerry Lewis summer movie, correct?
Right, and Jerry Lewis said, okay, I'll make you a movie you can put out in the summer. He goes, you don't have any time. He goes, sure. He asked a few different people to direct, and everybody was busy on projects. And he finally said, I'm going to have to do this myself. So he was, like, performing at the Fontainebleau in Miami in the evening and writing at night and shooting in the morning and afternoon and, like, taking intermittent naps because he was so driven he could just do this. And he ended up putting together The Bellboy, and not only did it become one of his best films, it sort of identifies what he could do as a director with his debut movie.
Yeah, no question about it. And the movie is very freeform. There's no plot.
No.
He doesn't speak in it. Well, as he speaks as himself, but not as not as the bellboy. And it was shot. Was it shot in 4 weeks?
Yeah, something like that.
Jeez,
right around 4 weeks, and he put together, like, you know, a 75-minute feature film. He padded it out a little bit. They have that, you know, the comedy act in the club and stuff like that. That kind of pads out.
Yeah,
but that's forgivable because of the conditions and. the stress that he was under at the time. So
I love how you analyze in the chapter on the bellboy the different kind of visual gags that are spread throughout the thing. And one of my favorite visual gags, which you talk about in the book as showing that he's not the dummy that everybody thinks he is. He's not the a terrible employee, is when he has to set up the folding chairs in the auditorium. It's one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
Yeah, it's one of the best scenes he ever did because he uses cinema's form and function, you know, the whole time release thing.
Yeah.
And that, you know, from where he's, you see him run, grab a folding chair, run to the middle of the auditorium, put it there, kind of place it just right.
Right.
Then run off, grab another chair. And they do that with like three chairs, and it's like taking forever. And then there's a shot of the guys kind of giggling outside of the auditorium saying, the job I gave Stanley, which is the character's name.
Right.
And then they go in and look, let's see how he's doing. And he's done.
Yeah.
It's like this great visual kapow that gets a big laugh.
It's great.
Very creative and clever.
Yeah, there's a lot of really creative and innovative and crazy gags in that movie. And that's essentially what it is. It's a series of gags, but it's great. And incredibly impressive film debut for a director.
Yeah, he really was a remarkable filmmaker.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much time we have. Well, you told me to tell my best Jerry Lewis.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? Let's take a break. Okay, Jimmy. We'll come back and we'll talk more. And I want to hear another great Jerry Lewis story. The book, by the way, is called "The Jerry Lewis Films: An Analytical Filmography of the Innovative Comic." It's not new. It, in fact, was published in 1995, and it is. But it is. It covers all the Martin Lewis movies. It covers his solo films as a director, and it covers all the movies that he's been in, including King of Comedy and Slapstick of Another Kind. And that's where the book that basically ends in terms of analysis of his movies. But it's a tremendous book. If you're a Jerry Lewis fan, it's a must. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. My guest is film historian and author James Nyber, and his book that we're discussing is The Jerry Lewis Films, An Analytical Filmography of the Innovative Comic. It is a tremendous book, a great book. If you're a fan of Jerry Lewis and his films, it's a must-have. Full of great detail, great analysis, great comments from Jerry Lewis, the man himself. And I want to welcome Jimmy back. Jimmy, you wanted to launch into one of your favorite Jerry Lewis stories, so please do.
Well, I have three stories, one long one and two short ones, and I think I can get them all in.
Okay, that's great.
These are just absolutely the best ones.
Okay.
First of all, shortly after we did the interviews, Jerry Lewis was scheduled to appear in Milwaukee. This was during the summer, and it was one of the Harley Davidson anniversaries. I think it's either the 50th or the 75th. I'm really sorry that I don't remember the number.
Okay.
But he was there because a percentage of the proceeds were going to be donated to muscular dystrophy. So they asked if Jerry Lewis would make an appearance, and he agreed to do so. So he was in Milwaukee, and I live, you know, just one city over, and I wanted my son to meet him. My son at the time was maybe 10 years old.
Yeah.
And this was like in the, you know, around 93, 94.
Okay.
And the book hadn't quite come out yet. And so he said, oh, sure, love to. And so we drove up to Milwaukee, and we went up to where, you know, he was staying. And my son, you know, while, you know, Jerry was getting ready, I'm talking to his wife, and my son is on the floor, you know, playing with the daughter, like with her toys. She was just a little baby, and he was just kind of being nice and playing with the baby and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Jerry comes out, and I said, you know, come on. He goes, you're paying, right? I said, yes, I'll buy you. And he goes, good, because I have a Bangladesh hunger. And so we leave his hotel room, and I've never, like, walking around with a noted movie star before fashion, but we went from his hotel to the elevator, and while we were going down in the elevator, everybody, the looks on the faces, whenever somebody would come on the elevator, they'd be like looking at their watch or looking at something, and then they'd look up and see Jerry Lewis, oh, and start fawning. And he was real cool about it. Hi, how you doing? Nice to see you, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, man, this is just what this guy does. I mean, this is his life.
Yeah.
We walked through the hotel lobby, and he must have been approached like 20 times, you know, Jerry, you're my favorite. Oh, Jerry, I love your movies. Jerry, will you come to my room and say hello to my nephew? All this stuff is going on. He goes, I'm on my way to lunch now. Yeah, and real nice, real measured, everything cool. And then he said, we'll take my car. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. And so we go out there, and there's a limousine and with a chauffeur. And so we start to get to the limousine, and there's a bunch of people standing outside waiting to see who's going to get into the limousine, and they just crowd around it. And I'm like, oh, geez, am I Paul or Ringo? And we get into the limousine, and we're sitting there, and then Jerry and my 10-year-old son start fighting over the TV in the limousine. Jerry wanted to watch golf, and my son kept changing the channel to wrestling. and every time he did that, Jerry would grab him by the neck and start shaking him, and then turn on golf again. This is going on the whole 15-minute trip. And then finally we get out of the limousine, and we go into a deli, and all these like Harley riders that are there for the festival are hanging around, and they start revving their bikes like in a form of applause.
Right.
As Jerry gets out of the limousine, and before we get into the deli, Jerry has to pose on all these different bikes and get photographed. So, Jerry Lewis on my motorcycle.
Right.
And finally, we get into the deli and we're seated. And of course, the cook comes out with his big smile. I'm going to be cooking for Jerry Lewis. And he was making fun of me for how much, you know, how big of a sandwich I got.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, I'm going to have some fun with this. So I kept pointing to stuff on Jerry Lewis's plate and saying, you're going to finish that? And he was like mock getting mad at me and yelling at me in his Jerry Lewis voice, making everybody turn in the place and laugh. And go, you know, yeah, you leave my food alone.
Yeah.
In his Jerry Lewis voice.
Oh, man.
And as we were leaving, I said, you know, I have every one of your movies except The Big Mouth. And he goes, yeah, this was the VHS days. He goes, yeah, for some reason, you know, that you know, Sony or whatever, it's hard to find that one.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of a matter-of-fact conversation. But we went back to the hotel. I went back to my car, and he says, hey, thanks for lunch and everything. And it was great.
No, that's amazing.
2 days later, in the mail, a VHS copy of The Big Mouth. Along with a poster from the movie autographed.
Oh, that's amazing. By the way, I love The Big Mouth.
I know, but The Big Mouth is so great, and I couldn't find it anywhere.
That's
great.
To this
day, my only print is my VHS.
That is great.
I got that direct from Jerry Lewis. I'll never get rid of that.
No, are you kidding? That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's probably my very favorite Jerry Lewis anecdote. I got a bunch of them, but
we're up to the news here, so we have to stop, and I we'll have to have you back on to tell more Jerry Lewis stories. And we didn't even really talk about the book, but I do want to mention that everything in the book is great, and I love that at the end of each chapter, an analysis of each of his movies, that you got a nice quote from Jerry Lewis about those movies. You get the quote from the man himself, which is just extraordinary, man. And again, before we let you go, like the last time you were on, you and I agree on our favorite Jerry Lewis movie, which is The Patsy.
Yes,
it's a brilliant movie and so great. But you know, it's such a pleasure talking to you, Jimmy. And you're working on a book right now?
Yeah, I have a book on the old Charlie Chan movies coming out next year. Remember those?
Yeah, we'll definitely have you back and maybe even sooner, Jimmy.
Okay, so it's anytime.
Absolute pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
All right, sure.
Take care. There you go, Jimmy Nyber. Man, oh man. The book is called The Jerry Lewis Films, an Analytical Filmography of the Innovative Comic. It's a great book. Man, he's got great stories. Wow, that's crazy. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up, then we're going to talk about your favorite comedies of all time, funniest movies ever made, what makes you laugh, and maybe doesn't make anybody else laugh. That's coming up after the news.